This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting May 7th, 2008.
Okay, there was one other committee. And we're talking now about liaisons to university assembly committee because we don't yet have a quorum and that doesn't require a quorum. So we have campus planning, transportation, codes and judicial, campus store, health services, Cornell United Religious Work, and one I had forgotten, which is the family services. Is that what it's called? Right?
Can
we
turn this through the
agenda
out the window?
We have to because we don't have a quorum. We're on item 4, business of the day, liaisons to the university assembly committee.
Okay.
And we have...
what is the reason that liaisons could be appointed by the UA? I mean, that seems like an official act.
I'm sorry, what?
It seems like that's an official action of the UA, so wouldn't there need to be a quorum to do that?
Liaison.
I'm not trying to be obstructionist here, but
Associate Committee, Budget Committee, Response Committee, Standing Committee, so all the public.
Yeah, but...
Where's liaison?
I don't think...
Well, we're looking...
I don't think that there actually is anything about liaison. There's something about conveners.
Well, if there's nothing about liaisons, then it doesn't have to be official action, does it? It can be just people volunteering out of their interest. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking maybe since there isn't a quorum yet, this might be a good time to talk about how the committees are going to function for next year, because I know there's certainly some things I could say about.
Okay, well, as a part of that item, liaison, we can discuss how the committees are going to function. And Barry, you have some things to offer.
Yeah. So we've had a few meetings. I know that I think Mark and Chris Basil met with Cornell Store about getting the Cornell Store Administrative Board back together, and there actually was interest in having that committee reassembled, right? With other ones, like the Board on University Health Services, we've had several conversations with them where they pointed us back to a discussion they had with the UA in 2004, where they said that the board wasn't really working, that it was very difficult to get people to come to meetings, that people had specific narrow issues that they were interested in health services, and they didn't seem to be interested in a broad overview health services concern. And after that meeting, it looked like the committee was not subsequently staffed for several years. And this is actually true of several university assembly committees. The United Religious Works, there's a budget planning committee, which is with, I think, the provost, which is a budget.
Well, the budget and planning committee doesn't have that same problem. It's just that was more of an. It wasn't because there were of the same problems you've just discussed. There's no diagnosis.
Each committee has its own particular issues, but particularly university health services, it's clear that there always are a few people who are interested in it, but not nearly as many as the committee in the charter prescribes. And a question that they kept bringing up, and it's becoming an issue for our office too, because since it's on the books, we feel like we have to staff it, is if this isn't working, and if we can't get enough interest in these committees, we're really hoping that this year we can reevaluate and come up with some system that allows the UA to exercise its legislative authority over health services, over United Religious Works, transportation isn't a problem because they're actually meeting, with an active committee that people actually want to participate in. Another issue that was underlined particularly with University Health Services is there's this setup in University Assembly where the committees are not staffed by the University Assembly, they're staffed by the constituent assemblies. So another question would be, is that really the best way to have things set up? Because it doesn't seem to be working too well, because there's no way for the university assembly to assume responsibility for staffing issues. The other question coming up there is, the people who serve on these committees have no overlap with the university assembly membership. There might be one non-voting liaison who's not even formally mentioned in the university assembly charter. And I feel like I've actually even observed this with the TJC, which is perhaps the U.S. most effective committee, that it's very difficult for the conversations that they have in the committee and the reasoning that they come to in the committee for that to be conveyed to the university assembly. And I think a large problem related to that is that there's no, you know, in most committees you'd expect some members of the assembly would be voting members on that committee, so that they could explain to their colleagues in the assembly, well, this is what we were thinking when we did this.
Wait a minute. Why does the person who is the university assembly member have to be a voting member? You can explain something without voting.
I guess it.
Well, having been on the TJC for 2 years now, not a voting member, I can tell you that that's very easy. In fact, there's an advantage to not being a voting member. Because then you, when you're explaining it to the assembly, you don't have a kind of...
I don't need to be like caught up on the voting issue, but right. The lack of overlap seems to be an issue, and certainly it was when we discussed with University Health Services. The model that did produce Gates was the undergraduate representative who was sort of pushing for these discussions. And Sharon Dittman, the person in CNS Health Services who is responsible for interfacing with the UA. The three of us felt very strongly that if we continue to have this problem where we can't staff the committee, it would be useful to explore some way where UA liaisons, representatives, whatever you're going to call them, could directly meet with Sharon Dittman to discuss what's going on in health services and report back to the UA. And what we're really interested in is if we're going to try these new systems, we'd really like that to be formally done by the UA with some thought about, you know, changing what's specified in the charter about these committees to reflect what's actually being done.
The standing committee operations are to make a reasonable attempt to ensure the members of the university community affected by a committee, whatever, or I would assume it's health services by the health services, are informed of the agenda and of the recommendations of the committee. So if you were to interpret that broadly, it wouldn't be just the committee. It would be what health services is doing to publicize to the community what health services policies are and what their actions are, such as might come about if there had been a committee that was working and was actually deciding those things. And there are committees that do decide in health services. It's just they're not the University Assembly Health Services Committee, the Mental Health Committee, and the, I don't know, the Drug and Alcohol Committee, you know, those things. Okay.
How are those constituted?
Those are constituted internally by the health services, I guess, in conjunction, they try and draw some definite life and other places in the university that have...
Okay, now faculty, students, and staff
community. I don't know how the faculty... I can say that the constituencies that we staff for university assembly committees, the president's office or whoever is responsible for the committee requests the respective assembly to name people for them. So they are staffed more or less in the same way as the UA committee.
Except the fact the Senate doesn't have representation on it.
Yeah, but my concern there is it says in the charter that the university assembly has legislative authority over specific departments. And coming out of, you know, a conversation that we had at the last leadership breakfast with Jim Engel, he confirmed that not just an advisory authority, that there's really supposed to be a regular collaborative relationship that's substantive with that policy. And if what's on the books can't be made to work, and it sounds like it was tenuous for the years, more recent years, that it was working, and that for at least 4 years it's completely, been completely dormant, it's becoming a pressing thing to find a way to make it work again in some form. So
now the legislation is, it has legislative authority over conduct. We've already taken care of that. We have to talk about the CJC.
That one's working.
Well, yeah, but we have to talk about who's going to be the representative. That committee is working, and the idea of a liaison representative, I can say, unless people want to change it, seems to be working in the right way there. The others are legislative authority over policies which guide the activities of the Department of Transportation and Services. We talked about that, and we decided that we do have a responsibility to vet policies that are being proposed in that committee to the UA and from the UA to the, or at least the UA to be responsible for seeing that those policies are embedded in the community as a whole, transportation policies, the changes that might take place in them. So if you were to use that model, then you'd have to apply it to the other committees that are legislative authority that we have over, which are United Religious Work, University Health Service, and the Cornell Shore. That's all.
But the difference with those committees is those are literally dormant. They're completely, they have not existed for years except on paper. And if the university assembly is going to exercise the authority, which it clearly has, then there needs to be some formal relationship between the university assembly and the unit. And there have been discussions about this in the past. There even have been, you know, a few years ago we were told that there was a consensus about it, but we looked through the record and there was no record of the consensus. So I guess I'm bringing this up at the beginning of the year because I think it would be really good if early in the fall semester we could come up with a new approach.
Yeah. Well, if we take those three, I'm sorry.
I know the problem. When I first met with the representatives, me and Chris Bateman, the representatives from the Cornell Store, that was, we officially called the Cornell Store Advisory Board for that one meeting, but they told us basically what you're saying, that the board has been completely dormant, it hasn't existed except on paper. And that the problem that they faced was they come up with all these packets for the meetings and stuff like that. People would show up, they'd go to their first intro meeting, and then next meeting completely different people would show up. And it happened two or three times, and the committee just then ceased to be. I think the solution to that is basically you have a liaison. That person is in charge of maintaining kind of a friendly relationship with the people who are in leadership positions in, you know, the respective group board or whatever. And if an issue comes up, they can form an ad hoc committee with those people, and then perhaps with somehow integrating that with maybe, you know, representatives from the community or from other assemblies or things like that. But I do agree that the current system is not working.
Well, yeah.
I remember when Elizabeth said there's some committees you want, like police walking the beat every day, and some committees that you want emergency responders. And I think we actually don't have the time to take care of each of these committees the way we took care of TJC. So I know I didn't report so much on the campus planning committee, because there just wasn't enough time at the meeting to cover things that were relatively insignificant compared to the CJC and working on the campus code. So I think it's not a bad idea to have the flexibility of deciding, okay, you just want to be an emergency responder. If there's not an issue that's compelling anybody to work, or anybody that's
I'm compelled to make it an issue.
Ideally, you can have all of your committees listed on your agenda, and if there hasn't been a meeting, you say, I have no report, and it takes 10 seconds. But if there's, I mean, sometimes you could do a report in 2 minutes, it could be 2 sentences. So just by having them on the agenda doesn't mean you have to spend 1 minute on every committee. But you would at least be forced to look at it because it was always on the agenda.
I'd also say
that's a better idea than my idea.
I think one of the visions for the University Assembly is that it'll be able to address things proactively. And, you know, if you're dealing with things in an emergency situation, that implies that it's going to be reactive and that it's only going to be acting after the university administration already has taken action and there's controversy about it. And I think that a large purpose of the University Assembly is to vet ideas like that before they reach a mature stage.
Well, one way or the other, there are things that are talked about in our charter about along these lines, and I think we ought to be more, I mean, I'm not familiar with how to parse out the various duties amongst these, but there are three categories of committees. You talked a bit about them. The first category is committees of the Assembly, and associated committees is the second, and campus life committees is the third. And those three kinds are the Assembly System Review Committee, Committee on Committees, Codes and Judicial, and Joint Assembly's Financial Aid Review Committee, and Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee are committees of the Assembly, that is us. The associated committees are budget and planning and campus planning. Okay? Now, if when I say parse out the different duties, the standing committee operations and campus life committee operations operate in a certain way. They make every reasonable attempt to ensure members of the university committee affected by a committee's recommendations are informed of the agenda of the committee meetings and of committee recommendations. They place on file with the UA minutes of all the meetings. And they request the chair of the UA place on the agenda of the UA those matters which, in the opinion of a particular committee, are of such significance they require decision by the UA, discussion by the UA. They respond to requests from the UA. They make oral reports at regularly scheduled meetings of the UA at least once a semester. And then, in the spring organizational period, the chair of the UA appoints assembly members to act as conveners for each of the UA committees. That category. And then those committees, the standing committees of the Assembly are the Committee on Committees, the Codes and Judicial Committee, the Joint Assembly's Multicultural, I read all this. And then it gives a list of the duties of those committees here. Further on down, it talks about the associated committees, which are the Campus Planning Committee and the Budget Planning Committee and the Committee on Family Services. And those three have different duties and different responses and different ways in which they're appointed. So it seems to me that what the method we were going about here was to find one person who's willing to find out what it is that we need to do vis-a-vis these committees, either whether they be standing or they be associated. And that person then can decide on what's the appropriate, given the responsibilities in the charter, what's the appropriate kind of agenda, and I mean that in a broad sense, for the UA participation in the committee, or whether it be responding or whether it be organizing. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does, but what do the liaisons do for committees that haven't met in 4 years?
Whoever it is who takes on the responsibility can come up with a plan. We had this with health services, and we had it with campus store. If, Mark, you wanted to come up with a plan about, given the duties that the campus store committee has as a place in the charter, a way that we can either fulfill the role that we have vis-a-vis the charter. And it would seem to me that having a report periodically and having the policies of the campus store vetted, you know, that you seem to think is appropriate, or they think is appropriate, making them aware that we think we have a role.
Right. I think it's just the important thing is, for example, me identifying myself to them and saying, if there's an issue that you need to have addressed, you want debate or anything like that, they know they can come to me with that, and there's you know, uh-huh. streamlined communication. I think that's kind of the essential aspect of it that way.
As opposed to us convening a committee with up members on it.
Another idea, I mean, you could, there might be, like, for instance, with CJC, you could have a report every single week, but it may be with some of these dormant committees, each meeting you have one committee that you're gonna have a little presentation from them, and that's it. And the next meeting you have another, you pick another of these dormant committees that you don't need to hear from every week, you don't need to hear from maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, it needs to be formalized. If it's not what's already in here...
In the charter.
Yeah.
And what Amy just said is in there or not in there?
I don't believe that it's in there.
Well, I mean, if you look at the terms under which, you know, of the charter for our actions vis-à-vis the committee, what's not there? What is it that we're not doing? What is it we're not doing if we follow that? That is in the charter.
What's in the charter is conveners and committees. There are no liaisons. Well, there might be an a non-voting liaison somewhere in there, but it's a non-voting liaison to the committee. It all assumes that these committees are meeting and reporting regularly. And with the exception of CJC and I guess now TAC and campus planning as well. The exception of those three committees, these committees haven't met in 4 years.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
I think we have to be realistic about the time and the priorities that people have and just, you know, meeting when nothing is tricky going on would be a waste of time. But I'm curious about the particular issue areas that are mentioned here and why others are not there. For example, Cornell Diamond. We suppose, I don't know, I wrote this up just by way of example, there was a recent incident in Wicosoga, a lot of students got sick on the ballot. And suppose you decided there was a problem there, or suppose we had complaints about the healthy quality of Cornell Dining, which anybody who's been, younger people haven't sort of seen it deteriorate, right? Some of us haven't been here longer, but food has gotten much less healthy since I've been here, and sort of just industrial food, obviously designed to make a profit. So I have a lot of issues about that, and I think that about as important as the campus store because it is health.
Are there other ones besides dining that come to mind right away? Dining
is a student assembly.
Well, why would the university assembly not be concerned with dining if it's concerned with health services and with the campus?
I can give you a little backstory on that. The reason at this point is historic. It's how the system developed. When the university senate was created in the early 70s, late 60s, dining was part of the university senate's responsibilities, and then when the system was refactored in the 80s, that was transferred to the student assembly, which had legislative authority over dining and over residence life. So
this committee and faculty and staff have no input?
I'm actually on the dining committee. There are about two faculty members that come, one from nutrition department, get the other where the other one's from, but anyone is allowed to join the committee, not just student assembly members. Anyone in the university can just come on by.
How often does this committee meet?
We normally meet twice a month. It's been rough this semester. Our chair is actually the head of elections for student assembly. but we normally meet every other Tuesday about, just that's what we're trying to do. We're discussing things like Mandibles Cafe, trying to get cafes like Big Red Bus, so it's one of the most active communities, obviously, in some way.
Well, yes.
I guess I just want to add that the units still are making decisions and they're still going on. They just become insular and make their own decisions and compile their own committees, and the UA is just not plugged into it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's updates from every single unit that the UA could see. Or
I think we can proceed by finding one person on, and I mean, Dave was talking about the you're talking about campus story. You're talking about campus health services. And rather than getting into the mechanics just yet, because we don't yet know how to translate, you know, the charter into a kind of, you know, reasonable, not overly redundant and time-wasting situation, we can at least get more information about what responsibilities we want to exercise in these areas by having one person look at a particular committee area and come back with a report. I know that doesn't satisfy your needs.
That helps a lot. I mean, the concern and the reason I'm mentioning it at the organizational meeting is I want everybody to be aware of it going into the next year. I don't know how it happened, but it seems like over time, and it's not just in UA, but in the assembly system in general, there's kind of been a loss of understanding of process, and a lot of these institutions have sort of fallen into disuse. And we feel like it's important to get the system to work again, that there be formal, clear, written process adopted, and we're hoping over the next year, whether it's what's already on the books,
or
something new.
So everybody be informed, and this is going to be an important issue for us in the next year. What we could do right now is, first we could go back to the agenda. And then when we get to the so-called liaisons, don't you all want to be a liaison? I mean, it's such a great thing to be a liaison.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm the leader now.
Oh, thank you very much.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Oh, and wait, before you leave, I mean, this is a piece of business that we should have done at the last meeting when we thanked all the people going on. And I think as a body, we, even though you guys are new, at least the old full-timers on it, ought to say thanks very, very much to the assembly staff, Amy, Ari, Denise, for the terrific job. And
keeping us in order.
Keeping us all energized and get going in a great way. Thank you very much.
Keep us energized, too.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go back to the agenda, and a quick one. The draft minutes, but let's look at the. I think yes.
Yeah. Let's see. Where it says, I did see
it.
Okay. On the second page, the third paragraph under health care draft money relationship. It says S. Matthew said that should read M. Fontana says.
Where are you talking?
Okay.
The third paragraph of the health services committee relationship, that.
Okay.
The
Matthew should be...
You should read M. Fontana.
M. Fontana.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you should read the Cornell Store Advisory Board, not the Cornell Advisory Board.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I think that's perfect. Yeah.
Any other...
That was great.
We all check our own words. Is that what
happened?
Where? Typo? Where? Third page.
Under my name. Oh, two.
second paragraph.
Under transportation advisory, yes, there, I think, should be there, T-A-T-I-R. Where are you? Right.
In response to these two questions, you have two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the word bicycle, yes.
Right. Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes as amended? Randy Wayne, second and Mark, all in favor? Appreciate it. Okay. Any abstentions? Three abstentions.
Okay. I'm going to say typo in that same paragraph, by the way. Okay. So reestablish, shouldn't it be hyphenated?
We'll
look it up. All right. So forward to the item number four, business of the day, welcoming new members. Oh, were there any late additions to the agenda? No, okay. Welcoming of new members. Welcome. We have all except Rebecca in terms of new members who have come today, and she will be welcome when she does. We still have one vacancy for employees to fill, one vacancy for faculty, and two vacancies for undergraduate
faculty.
Two faculty.
David and Dan.
Oh, yeah, two faculty. Two faculty.
Yeah.
And they are being currently sought by the dean of faculty. And then you have the two undergraduates. And they will be elected, is that it?
End of September.
In September. Okay. Terrific.
So the graduate and undergraduate and then employee representatives are all elected? Are appointed? Depends on the
appointed.
Yeah. But it depends for undergraduates, four are popularly elected among the entire undergraduate body, and there are two that are in turn elected on the student assembly.
The faculty are, in essence, appointed.
Why are faculty appointed?
It's just the way it is. The dean of faculty's office goes to the nominations and elections, or the nominations committee goes to the SGR, the faculty committee. You could ask the dean.
Legislative bodies are typically elected.
Yeah, I know. But I'll have to ask Charlie. Not Charlie anymore, actually. All right. Forward. Election of chair and vice chair of the UA. We have a quorum, so would you like to propose names for a chair?
Now, I'm sorry, did we decide that the chair of a constituent group cannot be the chair of the whole thing, or can be?
No. What we're doing now is to follow Ari's caution.
Okay, so we have four people.
No, we decided, according to what Ari was suggesting, and I think that's a reasonable thing, that we would caucus amongst ourselves and say that's a reasonable chair and so forth, but this is now open for nominations, and it can be somebody who is not the chair, or not the executive head, and if the chair is elected from, who is elected is a different person from the executive person, and then that person who was elected executive would go off and would be replaced by the person who was elected chair. I thought that was worth discussing because we had a little time before a quorum meeting. Because that's who was available. So are there any nominations of chair for chair?
I have a problem.
What's your problem?
I thought the charter says to be very specific.
Yeah.
The chair and the vice chair have to be of the executive committee.
They do.
Okay.
So what I was just saying is that if you elect a chair, for example, I'm the chair of the faculty delegation.
Right.
If you elect Randy to be the chair of the UA,
right,
then I go off as chair as the executive committee.
Okay.
Randy becomes that.
Got it. I totally understand that.
I just, we just were handling something sort of, I know it's complicated. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm understanding. I just quiet to get a feel for it.
I like to in this room.
So
So the whole group decides who the vice chair and vice chair are, not the four executives?
No.
Okay.
We did that last year because we had a transition.
Okay.
And you were pressing us for that.
But they do have to come from different positions.
Yes, vice chair and vice chair have to come from.
Well, I'm concerned a little bit that Tamara isn't here as one of them.
I would want to wait on this, honestly, so we have kind of more people.
And I'm sure my fellow delegates will make me do this again, but I can't fully say that.
Wow. Okay. All right. So I don't know that this is anywhere in the minutes, but we could. I'm willing over the summer to stay in the present relationship. Over the summer, what the chair of the assembly does is generally have to sign anything that comes along, right? Like we did last time.
Appointment letters.
But come the fall, I really, it'd be wonderful.
The first meeting, you guys should do that. And hopefully
yeah.
We have a lot more attendance.
Is that acceptable to everybody?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Y'all be there.
Are you going to be here also?
On and off, yeah.
Okay.
And you're vice chair, right?
No, that's right. That was Jules. So
sorry.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
I'm going to have to. You've had to
what?
Jules
and Jim are back.
Yeah.
Oh, we vote for Marty and Rodney.
All right, then Rodney is vice chair. Rodney is vice chair. But, Rodney is acting interim vice chair. So. How about adjunct acting interim vice chair? Okay. We'll let it all lose. Temporary adjunct. Okay. Great. Now, here we are. Liaisons to UA Committee. And we can make this easy, actually. Just go through the list. Campus planning, whether you're a liaison or Randy has been doing that, are there any other folks interested in being campus planning representatives?
I'm happy to serve as a backup for Randy. If we were doing that last year.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
and there's no meetings this summer. I just had an email thing.
Okay, great. So is everybody happy with Randy being in that circumstance? Yay, congratulations. Now transportation, Dan Brown is not here, but in your minutes, which you just voted to approve, Dan Brown reminded everyone they need to assign them if they should do so, and then Elizabeth asked some questions about this. Dan says it's a good thing that people ought to. They put forward progressive resolutions, and we know from our meetings last semester that it was a great thing to have his participation, to have us engaged.
Yeah, so there's some CPR on that committee, and they've been meeting about once a month, really doing stuff. So.
And I think as a campus, you all really should be deeply involved and engaged in what goes on as far as transportation. It's not just how many buses are going to travel what route. It's going to be, the green solutions to transportation at Cornell. Kind of
progressive means not always asking for more parking spaces.
Yeah. Right. That might be the big issue next year, you think?
Right.
No, transportation.
Yeah, I think it is a big issue.
And maybe trying to get back to free bus passions that were run by the district. And they normally meet over lunch, and they normally provide lunch.
Oh.
Well, it's an important committee, and it would be terrific to be a part of it. Rodney just nominated Elizabeth.
Thank you. My interest is in green everything and in more covered bike and stuff like that. Major.
Anybody else have a deep
interest? Some of you may have you may want to place or park your SUV and you wouldn't want me on that
committee. Oh, I don't know. All right, well, seeing no one else, I guess Elizabeth, that'd be wonderful.
Did she accept? You did?
I think she
didn't give her any.
I'll be a backup for today.
How many people are not here?
That would be good.
That were normally, I guess, be here?
Four. One. Paige Strzok, Tamara Parr, Alice Lowe, Rebecca Stein, and Bill Riddick. Bill Riddick has already written. No.
We're down nine people.
No.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tomorrow, Bill.
And Leon.
Pat, Leon.
Oh, where's Leon?
Alice, and me.
Where's Leon?
He was here today because I got an email from him.
Didn't he go on the week, was it? That's only 6. What's 7?
8.
So it might be a good idea to wait till there are more
humans. I was going to just suggest that since we're missing around 9 people,
I count 8.
And it's right. Somebody might be really excited.
Unless you have to decide that they're going to
summon.
I probably counted
a
vacant one. I mean, I need to put a lot of things up, but I think that's going to be needed as much because there might be a number of burning desires.
Okay, well, Abe has said that he'll continue on family services.
I would also like to continue on the Cornell store.
And Cornell store... All right, Mark is interested in the Cornell store. I mean, are we willing to go with people like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that competition.
They can always have more than one person, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But
you
said
you could start learning and continue.
Yeah. But even if
I'd like to
sound
about it, nothing else.
You know, right? Is there any interest in taking codes in judicial?
I have some interest in that.
Terrific. All right, that'd be wonderful. Because I'm...
Kansas store with Margaret.
I'm eager to step down.
Hopefully there will be a way.
Do you folks feel bad about not having everybody here for deciding to get codes and judicial?
As far as I'm concerned, appoint people now and if anybody throws a fit at the beginning of next year.
We can go over again at the first meeting.
Yeah.
And
fire
alarm. All right, that's great.
Legislation first.
So that leaves health services and CURW, and I guess
who was doing health services before?
That was
Dave, but he's gone.
Okay, he won't be back.
We might have little short conversations around the table about before people go off to liaise with these committees, you know, what we think are the important issues for health services. And we have a variety of things around the room.
That might be a good idea. The next meeting, we literally go through and we say, what do we want to focus on for the next meeting? So maybe just that goes on to having an item on each meeting.
Yeah. Great. Amy, does everybody have a copy, do new members have a copy of the charter?
No.
How many of you would prefer having a hard copy, because it is on the website?
It's online. You can print it out. But I made a binder for you, too.
Well, then, I mean,
can you not, like, find it within the services?
No.
Hmm?
I guess the reason I'm saying that is that, well, appoint these liaisons, but I think it's a good idea for you to really, all of us, to familiarize ourselves with that section about committee. Because, you know, as it's a little bit Byzantine how the committees are organized and what committees do some things and what committees do others and what their relationships are to the UA. And with codes and judicial, I mean, I can talk to you about that. It's a very important one to continue to attend, and maybe we can put Kate on the codes and judicial, you know, list, so that he gets all notifications, even if we have...
be a lot less now.
Yeah, it'll be a lot less. Yeah. But still,
well, maybe not.
They will be discussions...
They'll be monitoring, definitely.
They'll be monitoring, but there'll also be discussions of individual pieces of legislation. Like we had 2 years ago a long discussion about what constitutes harassment, and there was a need to go through the federal and the state literature, legislation on harassment, what definitions there are, and then you had to decide what of those definitions were relevant to the university situation and what university conditions would require a more full definition than the state or the federal laws give us. And those kinds of things come about, and there are people who, for example, have one proposed on the committee presently, Code and Judicial Committee, that all faculty and staff and behavior, even if it's work-related, would be covered by the code. Right now, work-related violations by faculty, staff,
are not covered by the code. They go directly to the dean or to the Office of Human Resources. So those are two examples of the kinds of things that come up before the Code Judicial Committee and things that really need to be discussed in the UA so that the UA can be better informed when the issue, should anything come out of the Code Judicial Committee deliberation, comes before the UA for its action. Okay, so that's the charge.
Well, health services and CURW could be one of those business of the day committees, which maybe only could meet once during the semester, and so that would be a really low key assignment commitment.
One of the things that comes up, and it's an interface between, for example, Code Judicial and health services, is the question of alcohol violations. And Code Judicial, for example, may have some pressure put on it to find a way to have alcohol violations be more strictly enforced and patrolled. Right now, because in health services there's found to be an increase in health-related illness having to do with alcohol. Let's say something like that comes up. So I guess the business of the day, order of the day committee, it may be useful. On the other hand, there may be a way in which it's just to have that. On the other hand, it may be nice to have a more proactive situation where those issues are, the university assembly, reflecting campus sentiment, let's say, decides to take an initiative about something like under drinking or
Well, what comes to mind is, didn't Gannett stop doing free HIV testing last year, or they tried to? I can't remember. It was something along the lines of they used to provide something and they stopped providing. Well, that would have been something they could have brought to the UA to discuss and get input before they enacted the policy.
Good.
So, like I said, they just.
The units
are still making decisions,
and
maybe
they're not
about
their business. All right. Maybe one of the things we can do is, because obviously a lot of these organizations have all these internal meetings, as we said before, we just kind of plugged in on them, is just require them to start, I don't know if it's done, to require them to just forward whoever the liaison is all the minutes of their meeting, and it's their responsibility, even if they're not attending the meeting, to at least look over the minutes, and if anything that comes up, report it here.
That's great. And that makes a lot of sense, for example, with campus stores.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
But so I think the only thing they're going to run into trouble is, doesn't health services have more than one committee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a tough job, because there's one group that you could connect with.
And
you're going to have the...
I'm curious what their kind of organizational structure is, and I probably have Dave would know more about it, because he's been doing all that.
Well, yeah, and actually somebody wrote to the University Assembly Executive Committee from the Student Assembly, Mark Wang, I think his name was, who expressed an interest in being more engaged with the University Health Services, getting them going more, and he and Dave had some conversation with that.
Andrew
Wang, I'm sorry. And I don't know what Dave made of that, and the report that Dave gave me in minutes was, we need to do something about something, but I'm not. I guess there is an interest in some more visible engagement and more of the health service policy being discussed abroad in campus. So that we'll leave that one open, but keep it in mind. Now, not to push our luck, but there is a budget planning committee. And let me read about this. We have 10 minutes or so. Shall consist of 17 voting members, 4 ex officio. 4 members shall be appointed by the provost. 5 shall be position appointments. We don't do this. The provost does 4. Position appointments means simply deans or people involved in the budget office, like, for example, the CFO, things like that. All right. The five positions, position appointments are assistant dean, chief business officer, one representing each of the following categories, so-and-so. Eight at-large positions consist of two undergraduates, two graduate professionals, two employees, two faculty members, each named by his or her respective assembly. Not us. The ex officio members are added by virtue of their position at the institution and interest in the university budget. Ex officio non-voting members, and then there's a whole list of them. The committee reports periodically to the UA. So if we have a designated liaison, such as Mark suggested, who would be responsible for gathering minutes of that committee, which I'm sure is an active committee, you know, because the things that they do is discuss, review and make recommendations to the provost regarding the development of the university's long-range plan and budget policies with regard to financial issues such as tuition, for example, the decision that the provost announced about tuition recently, student fees, financial aid, graduate student stipends, enrollment, compensation, and endowed Ithaca employee benefits. Okay? The BCP, the Budget Planning Committee, shall seek advice and comments from non-members while discussing a specific issue and or budget policy. Shall seek. So, non-members being even the university as a whole, via the UA, if the UA were to bring this into the university as a whole, community's attention, the way the Codes and Judicial Committee did with the Code, hold hearings, maybe even hold the whole fora about budget issues. Should it appear to be. And then the committee, at deliberations, the committee will often be on a confidential basis. The committee will report periodically to the UA. So I didn't put that committee down here. I also hadn't put the family services down.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I don't know about Bill. Will that stay on family services? He hasn't indicated to me if he's being able to stay on next year. But I think earlier when you said Abe has indicated he wanted to be on the Family Services Committee,
yeah.
He's actually on the Child Care Services Committee.
Oh, okay, so we need a Family Services.
Well, we might. I mean, I don't know if
Bill wrote me and said that he couldn't be at the meeting and he didn't want to, but because of this. He didn't want to be a chair, so he didn't want to be a chair.
And then tomorrow, when she wrote me, that she still wished to be on the Committee for Academic Integrity.
Right.
So
okay,
that committee actually right now I think is kind of right now it's kind of very ad hoc. I think it's going to be moving now to kind of more of a drafting committee. And I know Chris Basil is going to be heading that up. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but I think kind of becomes a cross of committee. So forward questions to Chris about that.
On the budget planning committee, I don't remember in the short time I've been on it. I mean, they said they reported things.
Not at all.
So they should and they don't.
That's not right, because we have to have a liaison to bring it back.
Yeah, we could, or we could have simply asked them, somebody who was on that, the CFO, could ask Holding to come and talk to us, but the way we did the Mark.
That I assume that of all the committees, that's the place where big issues could be raised. One that strikes me differently because some of us, Marty and I, for example, have been very concerned about buildings, particularly a few buildings that are terribly expensive and don't meet the environment and zoning. Anyway, saw pictures of Mill Stein is one of them right now, but there. When you look at what these buildings cost when they run their little promo blurbs about them and you see tabs of 60, 70 million and up, you have to recognize that money is coming out of endowments and, you know, this money is fungible. It's got to be part of the picture of financial aid and tuition. That is, they could keep tuition down. They could provide more financial aid if they weren't building so many gigantically expensive, and in many cases also ugly and dysfunctional buildings.
Some of the money comes from...
Yes, but that's the problem.
But you don't pay the full cost of it. For example, one building, which shall remain nameless, has a $10 million endowment, but the rest of the building cost, 40, maybe 50, is coming out of operating funds.
But the guy who gets the $10 million gets his name on it.
You can't copy operating funds building?
Well, I guess what Elizabeth is suggesting is that Elizabeth is suggesting is this is quite a useful committee. Sure, I'll put it over.
Okay.
Yes, okay, you have to give up transportation.
Somebody else
is thinking.
This is a big one, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. What do you think, guys, about transportation? Think about transportation.
How often does transportation meet?
Like once a month.
Or about once every 6 weeks.
We need another biker like Dan Brown.
It's not labor intensive, but
I need to not get fired from my boss.
Well,
I mean, I could be interested in it, especially in light of College Town is implementing one new vision, and they're going to come to Cornell and ask Cornell for basically off-site parking. That's going to be a big issue.
Meaning off-site parking in what?
To relieve parking constraints in College Town.
Satellite lots.
It actually is really full of stuff that they're proposing in College Town is. The idea is to discourage people from bringing cars,
right.
And the people that bring cars, to discourage them from using their cars, and then give them the option of having satellite parking lots.
Students.
Yeah.
And we talk about this.
Yes. Exactly.
This is wonderful. Would you be willing?
Yeah, I can do it. I'll use
it. I think it would be true.
Keep in mind, we also need more covered bikes.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
I'm already down.
Oh, we have this cartoon. I don't know if I'm good. Cornell has a milk stain around it.
Gosh.
Budget
plan.
Okay.
Budget plan. Okay. And you will take...
Tommy Brink will be so happy for having you permanently.
Okay.
So health services is the only one we don't have.
Health services right now, but yeah. And we also, I mean, there are others that, you know, for example, there's this multicultural... Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee.
Is that meeting in the state?
I'm sorry, I was.
Joint Assembly's Multicultural.
Jimmy. I'm not. Actually, I'm talking to Chris right now.
Estimus Jimmy was at the Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, we're doing very well.
And then we got any information.
Congratulations to all our new liaisons.
And there's going to be a meeting in June of the TAC Transportation Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in like sitting in on that?
Right. Sure.
Okay.
You might, in your spare time over the summer, take a look at T-Guides. That's what we passed. Sent a letter of support, a resolution of support to you guys. It was just completed last year. It's a multi-agency, town of Ithaca and so forth. It advocates satellite lots. It advocates park and rides. It advocates jitney services. The new campus plan, which was just passed by the trustees, advocates many of the things that intersect. Many things that intersect with you guys.
Okay.
Those things are things that, just what you brought up is an issue that is not just something that you want to read about in the journal or in the Chronicle or in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue that we can actually have something to do with because of the committee structure and because of our legislative responsibilities. I mean, I think Ari was talking about how things sort of subsided in terms of Catholic governance for a period of 10-15 years. And we were here during that period. It partly had to do with kind of a change of climate on the role of students and faculty. Just like you have a 60th generation, then you have a 70th generation, the 80th generation. It has different kinds of impetuses to interact. It also had to do in part with an erosion of what one would call a community, Cornell community, that came partly because there was a top-down kind of approach that was taken by certain administration in particular, and also because there was so much growth and building going on that some people felt things were really out of control, out of their hands. Maybe it was due to, you know, certain community action having to do with the parking lot on University Avenue, but also maybe because there's a change of generations over the past 10 years. There's been more of a spirit for community, building a sense of community at Cornell, and also more of a spirit for having community governance. And if you read David Gordon's letter having to do with campus code, or Tommy Bruce's letter having to do with campus code, you know that spirit is either total community spirit or what is felt naturally in those agencies, the administration. There is more of a sense of trusting campus governance, community governance. So we don't want to drop the ball and say we're not going to do it. We want to, now that we've gotten engaged, we want to do it.
To answer the previous question about the Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee, it is currently not staffed, and the FA did not appoint a chair.
What about Teddy Park?
Okay. Join the
Okay, well, those committees, you know, we can discuss them more. Obviously, they're not necessarily ones that we need to take right. I mean, we're taking our first step. We're 10-year-olds taking, you know, we're beginning to run now. And we can get a little further along.
Joint Assembly Financial Aid Review Committee.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's fast and active, apparently.
Oh, well, we could have a liaison to that, too.
We can.
And that's probably, let's put in the minutes, I guess you could say that the Financial Aid Review Committee is a good one for us. So we've got something to do with
it. And there was Jay Park, and not something else.
So are there any other...
Radiation.
Any comments?
Learning.
Sure.
I'm excited to be part of one of
these. Oh, good. It'll be great.
I think I might have missed you in late to me.
Oh, let's introduce ourselves. Rodney, go around and explain, say a few words about yourself.
Rodney Worm, probably my third or fourth year on this wonderful committee or assembly. Work in the University Registrar's Office.
Randy Wayne, the faculty representative. I've been here for a number of years. I don't remember. This is Dat and this is Dat.
what department are you faculty
in? Okay. Science biology.
Okay. I'm Nick Brito, and I'm a fourth year, I guess I am my fourth year as a graduate student here in the PhD program in humanities. And I was with GPSA for 2 years, and then I decided to have a little bit more of a role at the University of
Hawaii. Is that in course in love you are?
I'm in biotech.
Got it.
Are you still going to be on the University Neighborhood Council? Another liaison.
Oh. Is that one of our committees?
The University Neighborhood Council is another innovation that came out of the failed, but not long-term, Redbud Woods protest, because neighborhoods were very angry at Cornell for what it was doing and sort of demanded that there be a council of neighborhoods and they have some interactions in the university administration. And the PGIS, when it first came down, it was handed to us by Trowbridge and Wolf, a local landscaping company that has had contracts to Cornell, including for bulldozing red redwoods and making the parking lot here. And it was really a horrendous mess when it came down. And it was designed to kind of move traffic really fast, the more the merrier, and to look at adjacent communities as sort of traffic bottlenecks. It was really awful. And we spent in my neighborhood and in other neighborhoods.
So this is in the Forest Home.
We're close to the campus, but I think all the neighborhoods just were up in arms and spent many, many hours trying to get that code, that TGIS rewritten, which we did successfully. So what you'll see, so far different documents than one of the things, which is just kind of a plug for raising hell and, you know, fighting bad decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And putting things like, you know, the science of greenness and sustainability into action here as a forward-thinking place, not just one that's going to be dragged into the 21st century. Sorry, yes, Ed.
So I'm also obviously graduate in genetics. I sat on the graduate special student assembly for 1 year. I work out at the best school. I also am part of College Town Vision Implementation Committee and the College Town Neighborhood Council. So, yeah, I can support on those things.
That's great.
My name is Asa Kray. I'm entering my first year as an Arts and Sciences Government major. I've been on the student assembly this past year as a freshman representative, and I'll be continuing next year as a representative to the College of Arts and Sciences. And I'm also now a QA member, one of the liaison to the student assembly. So,
great.
My name is Mark Fontana. I'm government major at WE, kind of thing. That was a recent decision I'm kind of in the middle of making. This is my second year in the UA.
My name is Caitlin. I'm a sophomore A major. I'm actually looking to add a second major, but I haven't decided yet. I transferred this year from Oregon State. Was involved in some government there and tried to take it up again. I'm also on that heavyweight crew team.
Heavyweight crew?
Yeah.
What's the pound limitation?
Yeah, how does that work?
Lightweight is below 160. Heavyweight, I think.
Does heavyweight grow faster?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Your weight also affects how much you weigh the bow down.
Right, I know, but I'm just wondering if...
So, but yeah, if you're being
stronger,
tend to go faster. Occasionally you'll have a really good lightweight crew.
Uh-huh.
But
does heavyweight ever row against lightweight?
No.
Never.
No, because they used to have the same division,
uh-huh.
But then 1 year a lightweight team actually won the national championship. Like a really amazing lightweight team, so.
And they said that wasn't fair because they were too light.
Yeah.
They didn't draw enough water.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Amy O'Donnell. I work in the office.
Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Denise. I work in the office of the Assembly. So another week. Oh, so you graduated? Yeah. Oh, okay. Great. That's great. Elizabeth Sanders, and I'm in the government department. And I'm Marty Hatch. I'm the youth. Well, it's a pleasure, everybody. If anything, folks want to say, we'll do it. Mark, I'll second by Rodney. All in favor?
Yay.
Cheers. See you next year.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.